Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, June 16th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Decentralize presents DecentralCon Consensus 2022 Week Review and AMA. Oh, and if you don't know who Decentralize is, it's LunaFest. If you remember LunaFest and the LunaFest podcast, they've rebranded now to Decentralize. So let's take a listen.
Hello, hello. Hey, guys. We're going to sort this out. We're going to have some, like, banging tunes while we're waiting for everyone to jump on. What do you reckon? This should be my area.
We need a mix from you.
Next time. I'll make sure I'm organized.
We've got Finn on here as well with Terra Spaces. So I'm sure that, he did a jingle for our podcast originally. So maybe he can throw something up.
Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
Very well, very well. And you guys?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I don't really know what time it is. I've never been hit.
I was going to say, you have quite the adventure over the last couple of weeks. And I think we were talking the other day and you were saying you're waking up in the middle of the night. And it has its advantages in crypto with all the 24-hour spaces that seem to go on, but you're not quite in the zone yet, but you're in the zone in other ways by the sound of things. Lots of exciting things going on, which is fantastic to hear.
Yeah, no, it's been it was a crazy few weeks, and body clock's not readjusted quite yet, so it seems to be I'm wide awake at about 3 a.m and for about 3 hours, and then I managed to get about an hour or two sleep, and then I'm awake again. So I need to sort it out. So if anyone's got any tips to cure jet lag, then let me know.
I think you just got to write it out.
Yeah. I mean, exposure to natural light should help, but this time of year, it probably doesn't help. It gets light at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, I've never seen the sunrise so often in the middle of June, to be honest. So I've basically been away from crypto and the space for about 4 weeks. Obviously, I had 2 or 3 weeks before the Consensus Week events on holiday, and then the Consensus Week itself. So I've only recently just logged back into my Kepler and my Terra station. So I'm also dealing with the fallout of the markets as well at the moment.
I was going to say, I was going to sort of be a bit jokey there, so you've not missed much.
yeah, it's eventful, isn't it, when I disappear?
It seems to be. I think back to when you and I met face-to-face for the first time, and the world has changed so cataclysmically since then, and that's only about 5 or 6 weeks ago.
I know. They say that, what is it, you know, a week in crypto is like a year. Well, a lot's happened in those 4 or 5 years, that's for sure.
Oh, most definitely. No, it's absolutely crazy. But in the spirit of looking positively, I've been doing lots of, as you know from our chats whilst you were traveling, been lots of vicarious enjoyment of the Austin events. That did look amazing. But also just trying to kind of keep that builder spirit going. And I think that you guys epitomize that. So all for the positivity, despite the fact the world is burning around us. I've got that image in my mind of the, I don't know what program it comes off, but the guy sat at the table and the flames are all around. And he's like, yeah, it's okay. You know, that's the image at the moment of crypto. And I'm the guy going, it's all okay. Drinking a cup of tea.
Well, to be fair, I didn't look at the markets too much, so it probably was burning all around me, and I was completely oblivious, actually. So, it was back to earth with a bit of a bump when I opened up the was it CoinMarketCap and the Binance and everything else to look at the charts. I quickly shut it back down again because I don't think I wanted to see it for very long.
I don't blame you. I think the one positive about being completely destroyed by terror is there was nothing left to destroy when the rest of the market started to collapse.
Quite. Yeah, exactly. But no, it's glad to be back and meeting back with the team and getting the spaces running. I know that the team were super busy while I was on holiday and over in Austin, and loads has been happening. So it's good to kind of catch up with Ian in Texas and then catch up with the team on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. We had a big team meeting on Wednesday, so it was good. And everyone's in really positive spirits. They've been cracking on and loads of good things to report. But we just thought it'd be good to, you know, pull together. I know a lot of people that wanted to go out to Austin couldn't this time round, just obviously due to the markets and everything that happened with Terra. I just thought we'll pull this together and do just a little recap, really, on Consensus Week. There was DecentralCon, there was OsmoCon, all in that same week. So I know that Sarah's
I had serious FOMO the whole time. The guys were away. I really, really wanted to be there, but couldn't go at the last minute for a number of reasons. But today I'm actually really excited to hear all the ins and outs, Andy, and I have loads of questions for you. So yeah, we could even kick off now with the most important question.
Shoot.
Yeah. What were the parties like? And does the crypto community know how to really party?
Honestly, I'll tell you what, we thought they could party in Ibiza. The crypto crowd, I reckon, would drink them under the table. Honestly, it was absolutely insane. There was so many parties and after parties every night that there was a spreadsheet floating around, and there must have been a dozen after parties being hosted across the city of Austin every night, all sponsored by, you know, different protocols or projects or VCs or ecosystems. It was mad, really, and trying to kind of pick and choose which ones you really wanted to go to. But there was a couple that really stood out for me that that we went to.
And please share. Who was the winner of the best party of Consensus?
There were so many that were so close. There was probably a couple that I would say were probably tied. There was a party on the second night of DecentralCon where first of all, Ian and I met with the guys from Orbital Command and some of the guys from Terra at their hotel, and they put on some food and drink. And then we headed down to the secret network party. Which was absolutely insane. Shout out to Jay and Tor and the rest of the team at Secret, because they put on an absolutely incredible event. They had an army of what they call their secret agents in the city. You couldn't move for people with secret T-shirts, secret hats, secret socks on. So they properly like infiltrated the city. And their night was held at an open-air club on 6th Street, which is like the super busy street in Austin, and it featured the first drop by Hollywood film director Kevin Smith. The film that he's produced is called Kilroy Was Here, and it was like a new concept for a film to be released using NFTs, and that was launched on the secret launchpad Legend DAO. So I think that was about 5,500 generative NFTs, and unless you own that NFT, you can't access the film. So it's really interesting to see the way that film are now using this new Web3 technology to enhance their interaction with their fan base, a bit like we're seeing with music. But it was hot. It was so hot in the club, in that nightclub. It kind of started with the an unveiling of the film at about, I think it was about 7 o'clock. And it was probably still in the late 30s Celsius. It was stiflingly warm. So needless to say, plenty of beers were sunk to try and cool off. And then Kevin did like a little AMA afterwards and interacted with some of the fans. There was a mixture of like Web3 enthusiasts and also a load of his like super fans that were there that had obviously bought their Legend DAO NFTs. I think when I was speaking to Jay, he was saying that they were expecting about 350 people there, but I think they got nearer to 1,000 at that venue. So it was absolutely packed. It was a brilliant night. I'd love to say I remember what time I left at, but I can't. And so that was a pretty cool, that was definitely tied up there for one of the best parties. And I think probably the craziest party that we went to was, it was called Wild Web 3 West Party. And that was held by a group of companies. There was Big Brain Holdings. I got an invite from Casey Big Brain from Big Brain Holdings, a VC firm. There was Zero Hashed, Backed, Struck Crypto, and Snickerdoodle. So it was held in the east side of the city at this venue called Highbrow Lowbrow. It was quite a newish sort of venue. Had a big yard in the back. They'd had this big, what they call, it was the Bear Market Dome tent, which had stuff which was really nicely air-conditioned, big tent in the back, and it had a like massage chair and some other cool activities back there. And then in the yard, they actually had two huge Texas Longhorn bulls, real life ones, in the yard. And I've got to admit, I did go full tourist and I did get on it.
I saw that. I was like, is that real? My God.
I wondered if it's animatronics when I saw it.
No, legitimately, honestly, when they said that we've got, we're going to have a bull in the ground so, you know, people can ride it, I thought it was one of those bucking broncos. And then when we actually turned up, they had, I can't remember how heavy it was, but it must have been like a couple of ton, this animal. It was absolutely enormous. So had to go and went full tourist, got a picture. They had live music, taco van, margaritas on tap, which was very, very dangerous. It was just a really cool house, just on the east side of the city. Those are two kind of pretty different ones, but really cool. I mean, there was just so many events. There was another one at the end of the week that was held with a load of the Cosmos guys, Stargaze, and I think they've got an AMA at the moment. But we attended their event, ATX DAO, which again, I didn't stay till the end because I had a flight the next morning. But speaking to a load of people that stayed, it absolutely went off after we went. So. But it was just constant. Everywhere we went, there was parties after parties, meeting in bars. So, yeah, you're just going back to your question. The crypto crowd definitely know how to party. And if you're going to go to any of these big crypto week-long events, I'd say get your beauty sleep in advance because you're not going to be doing much sleeping while you're there.
I think I've had plenty of practice living in Ibiza for the last 20 years, actually. Yeah. So, well, no, I'm a little bit more calm than I have been in the past. But yeah, it sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to the next one, but I know that we've got more things lined up for this year anyway. But I know that you had a meeting with the Passage 3D team, and Passage 3D are obviously our metaverse partner for Decentralize. And we haven't had a chance to chat about that yet. So do you want to, just give us a bit of a rundown on how that was, meeting the guys in real life, and how that's all moving forward?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they were, it was so good to see the guys. You know, we've had, as you know, like we've been involved in almost all the meetings with them, and they're such nice guys. You know, from our point of view, one of the best, if not the best, you know, metaverse protocols in the space. Hence, you know, I was wanting to partner with them and work together with them. But to actually spend some time with them rather than being in their metaverse, and as good as that is, actually seeing them and clinking beers and having a drink and meeting face to face and really getting to know the team was amazing. You know, there was all the guys there, Lex, Aral, Ryan, Josh, Wes, all the guys that we've all met with before. And they actually had a really good idea. They, rather than booking a load of hotels, they rented a huge, like almost like mansion style Airbnb, and it actually worked out cheaper than booking individual hotel rooms. And they had their own swimming pool, which again was genius because it would, like I say, like I don't think it got below about 35 while we were out there. But yeah, we spent some time with them. We spoke a lot about their projects and what they've been working on, and how they're advancing their systems and their technology. So it was good to hear what they've been up to. And then also got a few sneak peeks at some of the stuff that they've been doing. But yeah, just really talking about the, you know, bringing our in real life festival site to life in the metaverse and kind of building that out, which they're starting to do. And then obviously, as you know, leading up with the NFT drop that we're talking about. So a little bit of alpha coming. We started discussing the metaverse NFT tickets, which will be the first batch will be launched in the not too distant future. So to access the metaverse festival event, you'll need to hold one of these NFTs. But yeah, going through all that detail with them, and they've got the developers on, and they've started to work on some of the designs. Following the kind of brief that you and Joe Crossley put together, Sarah, I think we're going to get something pretty special out of that. And it's, I think it boils back down to what a lot of things were said at Consensus about, you know, NFTs with utility. You know, as much as I love a PFP and they are great and I own probably far too many, I think the next phase and one of the buzzwords was utility for NFTs when we were at Consensus. So hopefully the, you know, what we're doing with our NFTs with Passage will be exactly that. There'll be a proper real world use case for NFTs.
Amazing. And what about the actual convention, like the talks? Like, who was like someone that really stood out? Who was like at the forefront of innovation? Like, is there anyone that you've got your eye on to approach that could sort of partner with us?
There's almost like too many to mention, really, but there was a couple of really good talks. There was one from DecentralCon that was titled Changing the Music Industry with NFTs, and that really resonated with our message. And there was a guy hosting it, was a guy called Kevin Clark from Decentraland, and then there were three guests. There was a guy called Eric Mandelson from a platform called OneOf, which is an NFT platform that operates kind of cross-chain for music and kind of lifestyle type stuff. There was a guy called, fantastic name now, get this, Edmund Almond. It was his birthday. Wow. As well. It was his birthday and everyone sung happy birthday. So we got sung happy birthday by about 500 people. But yeah, he's from a platform called Eureka, Q-A. And he's an IP and copyright specialist for blockchain. So it was really interesting to get his perspective. And then there was an artist musician that was from London, a lady called Tatiana De Maria. And she was head of Web3 at a platform called Naccio.io, so N-A-C-C-I-O. So it was a really interesting panel, actually, because they all came at it from different perspectives, although they were kind of all talking about change in the music industry. But it was particularly interesting to hear from Tatiana, and she spoke about everything that, like I say, that we at Decentralized have been saying from the start. You know, a real advocate of artists' rights and musicians. She really spoke about musicians understanding business. Like, she talks about the fact it's the music business and the fact that a lot of artists generally have like multiple roles. So they might have like a manager, a tour manager, a social media manager. Or they have to do it all themselves. And if they don't do it all themselves, obviously they have to give up the equity, i.e. themselves, in their business and lose a share of their content. So she was saying that how kind of Web3 kind of flips that on its head and allows musicians to do, obviously, release music and not have to worry too much about, you know, getting involved within the kind of the music business side of things, dealing with the kind of streaming platforms and things like that that a general manager would do. And one part really resonated, and I thought this was an interesting one for yourself, Sarah, excuse me, was she spoke about a thing called the 1,000 fans model. So that will basically replace the existing streaming model with like Spotify and YouTube and Apple Music, where in Web3, you only really need like 1,000 proper fans to make more money than a successful artist in the Web2 space. And that, I think that really hit home. You know, the fact that if you've got 1,000 proper fans, if you like, that are buying your NFTs or buying your merch, and even if they spend, say, a minimum of £100 on your music or your NFTs or your merchandise, in terms of profit, you make £100,000, which when you go through the traditional Web2 space, when you're looking at fractions of a penny for streaming and very, very limited access to royalties in terms of, you know, real life merchandise and art and everything else, being able to deal with, you know, just 1,000 proper super fans as a kind of a bare minimum, you can make more money. And I thought that was a pretty interesting concept. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I know. I have heard that. And I have, like, I think that is, I think that is true. And I think that is, like, I think that's a great number to aim for. And it's like a manageable community where you can have, like, direct access with your fans, and you can have that relationship, that close relationship that they really want, you know, because at the moment, like the way artists are, it's like they're untouchable. You know, you don't have that connection. I think Web3 gives us that opportunity to be connected to these super fans. So yeah, I have heard that concept and I totally agree with it. I think it's, yeah, definitely something that's achievable for so many more artists than, you know, like, all these sort of struggling artists that are, you know, not having the ability to make revenue from touring or whatever, or, you know, I think basing or finding those 1,000 super fans and then using NFTs and creating utility for these fans and really giving them support and focusing on them, I think, yeah, it's the way forward, definitely.
And I think in terms of, like, yeah, that niche opportunity, as Sarah Wright says, 1,000 is a very achievable target. It means that globally you could have many, many artists in a market without it ever getting remotely saturated, and each has their own kind of special niche. I'm just thinking back to when I was a youngster and you'd see bands that toured locally and they barely made a penny, but it now gives that greater reach, and the personalization aspect of it is great as well. A kind of intimacy of really getting to know your fans and really get to know the band. I like that. That's really good. That's a really interesting innovation. I think it's shocking, though, that clearly in the current Web2 world, artists make so little that even those massive followings wouldn't give, you know, as much as that deeper Web3 NFT-fronted relationship would do. So that's quite an eye-opener. I know people who have tried to make it on the likes of Spotify and others, and it's pitiful the amounts they actually get.
Yeah, it is. And there is, like, even from my experience, you know, there is such a gap between sort of like the top guys and then everyone else, even the middle guys, you know, it's still, you know, a lot of them are still on Struggle Street, you know, even though they're getting the gigs and they're selling the records and they're doing all these things and they're working their asses off and, you know, they're still not making the revenue that they should. So, yeah, I think Web3 is a way forward. I'm just trying to get everyone as excited about it as I am, you know. I'm out there preaching to all my friends and all my peers, but we'll get them over.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of really good music kind of related specific talks. So obviously I've mentioned the talk before with Tatiana, but there was a really good talk at Consensus from a guy called Nate Jones, and he was from a streaming protocol called Royal, which is kind of one of the famous or more recognized Web3 streaming services. It's where fans can actually buy rights to the streaming royalties, so they kind of, you all kind of succeed together. So it's like a fan sharing, like, ownership platform, if you like. But then there's an artist called Big Boy who is from the band Outkast. So everyone knows Outkast with Andre 3000.
Oh, yes.
Hey Ya. That was it. That was like one of their big hits. But he was there. And I tell you what, he was a really cool guy. He was, he mentioned that he was excited by that possibility. And we, you know, speak to artists, but the possibility of direct communication with his fan base. So the fact that he can share music and collectibles with them, as well as them be able to like participate and promote in his music. He was saying that, like, musicians always have to stay ahead of the curve, and not being limited to, like, the current system is what appealed to Big Boy to get into the Web3 space. Nate, the other guy, was saying that rewarding super fans, so maybe those like top 1,000, and activating those super fans gives, like, new artists the chance to say, like, let's be successful together. So, like you were just saying about, you know, new artists coming to the space, like, they get to be part of that journey. So if you support them early, you can be involved from the very start of their careers and be successful with them, which in the traditional space, you just wouldn't have done. You'd have, like, followed your favorite small band around the country, paid for a ticket, maybe caught for a drink with them in the bar afterwards. But this was a really cool way of getting that interaction. And they said that, like, a lot of artists try and drop like one big song, like they try and have like one big hit and make it like an instant hit, which very, very rarely works. And then they see themselves as a bit of a failure. Whereas this route adds more value because you're building together. So you don't need to go out and get that big hit straight away. You can kind of build up to that, go on a proper journey with your fans. So controlling the ownership of their work as an artist is what basically all the musicians were talking about while we were there. So that was a really interesting talk. There was a couple of others. Oh, I'll tell you what another really good one was. There was two guys from the Wu-Tang Clan that spoke. So it was Method Man and Cappadonna. So they're signed up to, I'm trying to think which protocol it was now, but one of the protocols. But they spoke. And they were talking about this big migration now of artists and musicians into the web space. So it's like they're saying it's started now, and they're really excited to be part of this. Milos, I think it was, or Melos. They had a mechanical bull. They had a mechanical bull outside, and I didn't go on that one either, by the way. They had it in the full Texas sun in the middle of the day, and you could actually win an ETH if you hung on the longest. You could run one ETH, but that even that didn't tempt me enough to go on it. So yeah, Milos had these two guys from the Wu-Tang Clan talking about it. So yeah, I mean there was just musicians, artists, Web3 artists in abundance there. So yeah, really starting to make that move into Web3.
What do you call FOMO after the fact? That's what I'm having now.
Yeah.
So, is there a word for it?
No idea.
I've just missed out. That's it. I've just plainly missed out.
I think it's that classic, when you sort of have a day where you decide, yeah, I'm not going to go out with a group. I'm going to stay at home. And you kind of, you're not really feeling it. And then you sort of see them a week later and it's, how did it go? And then they kind of go, yeah, we did this, then we did this, then we did it. Oh, you get that post FOMO because you're like, yeah, I didn't feel great, but if I had gone out, that would have been amazing. And that's kind of the feeling. Obviously, in my case, it wasn't feasible to go out there. But as Andy knows, I am planning to get to change things up a bit and get to some of these events. So yes, definitely post FOMO or kind of reflective FOMO, maybe it is, perhaps.
Yeah. Definitely. So well, when's the next one, Andy? What's next on the agenda? Because we've got to sign up for that.
I think the next one we've got is I know that we've got one of the team members. We've got Harrison that's going to be pulling together something in the summer in the UK. I think more details are due to come out, but he's organising something for some of the guys that have been supporting us from the start. So if you want to find out a bit more details, maybe jump in the Telegram group, as that's kind of going to be organised. But then there's also an event that's going to be happening towards the back end of the year, which is Cosmoverse, which is happening in Medellin in Colombia. This talk of Ian going out there, I think I've pretty much used up all my holiday leave in about 4 weeks. So the chance of me going to Colombia looking very slim. But I think that looking the way that the Cosmos was really well represented over last week, I think that there's some really exciting stuff happening in that much larger kind of IBC ecosystem. And it was, I think that if we can get out there and kind of get more integrated with those guys, that would be amazing. And then, of course, we've got to go next year, haven't we, as a team, surely?
Yeah, well, I mean, I loved hanging with you guys at IMS. It was just so great to bring the team together. So I'm just waiting for more of those experiences. So the more we can do, I think, the better for the team as a whole. But I'm definitely thinking of doing Colombia. Definitely. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, we see how much the space has moved in, the last 6 months, a year. I can't imagine what it would be like, say, in Medellin in, back end of this year, and then again at the, at Consensus Week the following year. And hopefully the like of the Terra Dapps Expo will be back up and running. Just want to give a massive shout out to Orbital Command, who I can't thank them enough for what they did. In fact, I can see Edith on the call. You are an absolute legend for looking after everybody and organising stuff last minute. So, huge thanks to Orbital Command there was Shah, there was Zion, there was Edith, there was Edwin. I probably missed some more off the team there, but basically they helped host a load of the guys that were originally going to go to the Terra Daps Expo. So we ended up having dinner there and drinks with those guys and really got to know the not just the Orbital Command team, but the wider kind of the builders in the Terra 2.0 community and some others as well. So there were the guys from Loop, which I know you know very well, Super Terra, Andromeda, yeah. Simon was there, in fact.
Yes, he mentioned. Well, I kind of gave him a heads up that you and Ian were going to be there, so I'm glad you all managed to meet. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good to catch up. And loads of people that you know we've spoken to either on Twitter Spaces or interacted with on Twitter or Telegram. Orbital Command just did a huge job pulling everybody together, and then they also managed to with the guys from the Osmosis kind of ecosystem pulled together Osmocon, which was fantastic, which was actually in the same hall that Terra Daps Expo was going to be, which was a really, really good conference, really tight, well pulled together, some great projects and protocols. So there was like Sunny and Ethan there. The guys from Stargaze kicking around. So there was all the kind of guys from the Cosmos that were that attended Osmocon as well as the other ones. So it was really good to catch up with those guys. So it'd be nice next year if Terra 2 is like a phoenix from the flames and Orbital Command pull it back together and do the same again, because they did an amazing job.
So that was we've been through a lot lately, haven't we, with all everything that's going on in the markets, and it sounds like the mood wasn't affected over there. But did you feel anything from like considering the market conditions at the moment and the whole thing that happened with Terra? How was everyone's mood?
To be fair, I think that actually at the event, so at DecentralCon, Osmocon and Consensus, like you wouldn't know that we're in a bear market. There was, DecentralCon was packed, absolutely packed. That was kind of three floors. I can't remember how many protocols were there, but there was maybe a 100 protocols that were exhibiting there, 80 to 100 protocols in some way, shape or form. There was a massive auditorium, then a second auditorium, which probably also held about 500, 600 people. The main auditorium probably held, at least 3,000. And there was just back-to-back talks on all of those. Then there were side ones on as well. So, and that was, DecentralCon was one of the smaller ones, and that was a pretty, pretty big venue. Osmocon was great. Again, it was not a funny feeling, but the fact that it was supposed to be Terra Daps Expo was like, yeah, it was a little bit sad, I think, for some of the people that were due to be there for the Terra Daps event, but it was cool to actually still get to meet the people, and it was really nice actually to see that people hadn't given up. So the guys that were originally going to go had continued to go and go and support Orbital Command, the Terra community, the Cosmos community, and attend as well. Consensus, I think I looked at the app and there was like 18,000 people registered, which is just insane. Everybody was recruiting. You went on to, many of the ecosystem stands. There was like Algorand, Neo, there was Hedera. The Cardano stand was absolutely heaving as well. So there was, all the kind of big ecosystem stands and the up-and-coming ecosystem stands were really busy. It definitely did not feel like we were in a bear market. And I can't even imagine what it'd be like if we were in a bull market. It'd be insane. And just to kind of describe Consensus for everyone, it basically takes over like the city center of Austin, which is possibly one of my favorite cities on the planet now after spending a week there. I wish I got to see a little bit more as a tourist, but they'd taken over a whole entire hotel at the Hilton. There was a massive convention center, and then there was a large number of kind of side venues that were ongoing as well. So there's no way that you could have got around the whole thing, even, utilizing every single hour of every single day. You wouldn't have managed to see everything. And there were talks. There were so many halls to go to talks, amazing speakers there. And it was just insane. Like I say, I can't imagine what it'd be like if there was a bull market on, that's for sure.
I was trying to visualize it all. It sounds like kind of the NEC on steroids.
it was. I mean, there was, we tried to get to see, there was the guy from, is it Galois Capital, the guy that kind of pr- predicted the Terra downfall on a tweet back at the start of the year. So there was actually, I can't remember what it was called. It was something like, I'm paraphrasing it, but it was something almost like the downfall of Terra. And he was being interviewed and spoke about the tweet. And obviously there was a load of lunatics that were kicking around that went to go and listen to it. And it wasn't particularly exciting, but Ian and I were trying to find this hall, and it took us about an hour just to walk to it from the main like exhibition space. We couldn't believe how big the exhibition halls were, and some of the stands were absolutely incredible. The guys that were exhibiting there, the Galois Capital one was an interesting talk as well, but for very very different reasons.
Oh, I can imagine, quite cathartic in a strange sort of way, I imagine.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was cathartic, you know, meeting the guys from Orbital Command and all the projects that were still out there, and, you know, bumping into some friendly faces. So there was like DeFi's there that I can see on the call. Hope you enjoyed your trip after we met. There were so many people that we met there that we've interacted with over time. It was just so nice. There was Hutch, Jay Pigeon. There was, I'm trying to think who else there was. There was just loads of people that we always see in the community kind of hanging around and having a chat. It was good to go and see those guys. And there was some, there was some really quite famous, influences in the space as well, speaking on some really interesting stuff. There was a guy, he's called G Money. I think he's got CryptoPunk. And he's like an influencer, and he onboards brands and things. And he did a really interesting talk about onboarding brands into the metaverse, like bringing brands into the metaverse, I think it was called. And there was a girl from Diageo, the really large drinks, the global drink brand. Yeah. She was there talking about onboarding her brands to the metaverse and into the NFT space. And being like disruptive in their industries. So like sitting back and listening to, like, she looks after Johnny Walker. I remember talking about Johnny Walker launching NFTs, and they launched it at VCon, Gary V's conference. And it was quite funny because the host was even questioning, like, obviously you can't get drunk in the metaverse. Like, how does it work? it was interesting to hear how legacy world brands are now starting to interact with their, if you like, their fans and their community. And it's a very similar process to artists and film and everything we've kind of spoken about already this evening. But interacting directly with their fans about collaborating and rewarding their super fans and interacting with them directly. That was a pretty interesting talk. Trying to think what else we did. And I think that was probably the main talks that kind of really hit home. It was just so eclectic. I think there's a load of them that are still on the internet for people that want to go back and look at some of these talks that were on. They were pretty substantial.
Yeah, I think I saw a photo of you guys at the talk of Punk 6529.
How was that? Good. Yeah, it was really interesting. I think Ian picked up, I was on the stand, and Ian had to shoot off and go and pick up the start of that talk. So I only picked up the tail end of it. But it was definitely interesting hearing how some of these people that have been in the space for like a really long period of time kind of view the state of the markets and how things are in this downturn. But he gave like a really interesting view on the people that are still here are still building the brands that are, they've rode these kind of bull and bear markets several times now. The ones that continue to build, and they're the ones that will be successful. So I think that's kind of a testament to everybody that's still on these calls and in these spaces and still building and working on, building back what we've kind of suffered over the last 2-3 months. So I think that was a really good point for me to take home was, somebody like, Punk mentioning about, continue to build, continue to stick it out, that, the bull run will come back again, was really positive.
Yeah, I think, for me personally, I'm almost relieved. I feel like I can actually get to work now and like focus on building the festival and creating my art and the NFT collection and all this stuff, where before it was, so much excitement and always something happening and always, like checking things and watching the market. So now it's almost like, oh, I can breathe and I can focus on being creative and building.
And I think similarly for me, I went from doing probably 6 or 7 spaces a week with new projects launching every single day and lots of DMs from excited individuals. We're still getting quite a few, in fairness, but I think that's turned now more into realizing that projects are kind of taking a breather, trying to take stock of the market. And I think also we've seen some disappear, and I do understand that pain and that kind of situation. It must be very disheartening. I mean, I've lost a lot myself, but it depends. We're all designed and wired differently. But what I was going to say as well is one thing I'm glad about now, because several projects I was involved in have literally just rugged, I've got space in my Discord, so I'm not at 100 anymore. So I'm able to find gaps and new capacity.
Every cloud. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I think I struggle. I get proper OCD with the alerts, so I have to just mute everything now. I can't bear it.
Oh, yeah, well, to be honest, my secret is I mute everything, and then what I do is I just literally go down my list, and I am quite active in a lot of chats. And what I am trying to encourage projects to do, so I'll do this little shout out. If you've got anything to share, the best place I think to share it is Twitter, because it's a more public forum. Yes, I absolutely get that things are shared in Discords, but I've missed several deadlines and other bits and pieces because they go in the Discord, and let's face it, you go in any Discord and it's got at least 8 to 10 channels. Most of them have a lot more than that. And you'll have an important announcement sandwiched between, hey, we're giving something away, or do you want to have this? And, you know, press the whatever it is, confetti or party thing. And sometimes the big things are missed as a net result of that. So an appeal from me, because what I've mainly done post terror collapse is try my best to corral the knowledge that I'm picking up and share it with the community so that people don't miss out, because there's a lot of people out there who are trying to salvage what they can. And in my case, I'm trying to help people salvage, you know, an NFT project that's moving to another chain. And I think that's really powerful. And maybe that's a nice kind of question for myself. Obviously, amazing parties, amazing after parties, incredible speakers. You mentioned that you met some Terra 2 builders. Just be interesting to hear a little bit about the kind of the mood and the thoughts of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, there was a number of projects that were there that were building on Terra 2, and I think people have come at it from two different aspects, haven't they? Whether it's an NFT project and they've made the decision to move quickly, and they've decided, you know, you've got the likes of, say, Galactipunks weren't there, but Galactipunks that are staying on Terra, mm-hmm. or you've got those that are moving kind of en masse with one planet to, I think it's Polygon. I mean, I'm a little bit out of the loop myself. And then you've got really interesting ones that are heading off in two different directions, like the Bulls Club. But yeah, I think the interesting part is that, you know, one thing that this situation forced me to do was look at several different ecosystems. And, you know, there are a number of really, really strong ones out there. You know, really kind of deep dived into the Cosmos, Algorand, Solana, the guys at the Iced Out Bulls guys have like really kind of spread their wings and started looking at like loads of different ecosystems and bring all their expertise and knowledge together. But the UI UX that's on Terra, I think is if not the best, one of the best at least. And I think that those builders that are continuing to stay here will continue to build some really cool stuff. There's some great projects that are kind of going off to do their own thing, like we said, like Kajira building their own chain and Loop moving to Juno. And I'm sure there's been a lot of tempting offers made to move to different ecosystems, whether that's, you know, the Cosmos or you know, Polygon, for example. But it's great to see that the builders are sticking it out, and hopefully in 2-3 years' time, the dust that sat in my Terra wallet might be worth something all over again.
And that's my hope as well. and you know, serious point on that. The best time to build, they say, is when it's a more challenging market. But anyone now that survives this is fantastically well placed for the next bull market.
Totally agree, 100%. Yeah, definitely learned a lot along the way. So I'm sort of, yeah, I'm excited for the future, actually. So let's see what happens. But
absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's anyone else in the room here that actually was at Consensus and would like to come up and share their experiences.
I know that DeFi's Alec was there, and he probably got around and saw more of the parties and more of the protocols than I did, I think, to be honest. Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Great.
Just joining us now.
Excellent. Another party person.
Hey, Paddy Boy.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Just recovering from all the sleepless nights last week. It was so great to meet you there, Andre, and the rest of the team. I was thinking about the question, Sarah, you had about like some of the things that we saw a lot of protocols and everything, and one that really stuck out for me that I want to share with you guys, that they were actually initially building on Terra, but they moved over to the Cosmos now, but it's called the Andromeda protocol. I don't know if you guys have heard about it before, but it's one of those ones where it's kind of like a build your own vault, or like any, you know, you can build your own kind of little DeFi thing that you think about, right? So it was really, really awesome from my perspective, because I've been dreaming about something like this for a really long time, where it's like you don't need to be a developer. You can drag and drop things and build out your vault that can yield you stuff, or build an auto compounder, or those kind of things. And they're planning on starting off either in Osmosis or you know, it really blew me away. I just can't wait to get my hands on it and play around with it. And they actually hosted one of the parties, like Cato and Andromeda hosted the party afterwards, where a whole bunch of us lunatics were there, and we're reminiscing the old times and all the losses and all of that stuff. It was quite surreal for me to get to meet some of these people that we've been interacting on the spaces. It was awesome to meet Ian and Andre and talk a lot about the festival. I'm fully signed on, and I'm coming over next year to attend and
excellent.
Help out in whatever ways I can with all the different skills that I bring to the table. And it was overall quite the experience. I almost didn't go, but then I was like, okay, I can't cancel the hotel. I might as well go and see what happens. And had an absolute best time. And I was really surprised by the prominence of electronic music and some really good DJs in a lot of the after parties. So yeah, those are my quick observations.
Thank you. I'm going to check out Andromeda. I did hear of them before, but I didn't do a deep dive into them, but that does sound amazing. I've actually got it open now on my laptop, but yeah, amazing. I think one of the hardest things, my FOMO, was the fact that, I was really, really looking forward to meeting the lunatics that I've been speaking to over the last sort of year and a half in real life, but I'm sure there'll be more chances to meet all the guys and girls, and I was supposed to DJ, so I was really looking forward to that as well, but next time there's always a next time.
I'm already thinking I need to book myself some time for the event next year, and I think I'm almost certain the world will be significantly better in this space by then. So, no, all exciting things. He's jumped off. I was just going to say, I actually followed Andromeda like months and months ago. I just follow anything that's remotely, you know, happening in the technology space. And I noticed they've been ever so quiet on Twitter until last week. So clearly they're looking to sort of build things back, which is really good to see. I see. DeFi Zealot had the experience I often have of being rugged, but looks like he's back. But yeah, I'm going to check out Andromeda probably after my next spaces. It's a bit like buses. I've had a quiet few days, and I've got obviously this excellent space, which I'm loving. And then I've got my own space coming up, shameless plug, in about 10 minutes' time. And you're all welcome to join. It's going to be yet another conversation about the future and building and moving forwards. And my lovely friend Simon, he's calling me from his extended trip somewhere. I think he's out in Mexico this week. So that should be good. It's the first one we've done for a couple of weeks on that format. So,
Yeah, no,
great stuff.
I did meet the guys from Andromeda, and I will admit that I did share a beverage or two with two of the team there. So slightly hazy memories of a night with. In fact, it was at the secret party. So very hazy memories.
I was just imagining you probably had the deepest conversations ever, but because you were so many hours sleep deprived and beers in, I've been there myself. For the next day, I had a really good chat. I know it was good. Can't remember the full context, but it was good. Sign of a good night.
I was actually very, very well organised. And the next morning, despite whatever state I was in, Ian and I sat down and we had a full debrief before breakfast and moved to the next day, because my memory is not the greatest at the best of times. And after a skinful and then another day of work, I forgot everything. So, it was like the Rolodex is full. We had so many great meetings, met with so many great projects, protocols, and people out there. So, we've got a busy few weeks ahead of us now. And, we continue to build out the festival.
Fantastic. And I think on the festival note, I'm very excited about next year. That's been penciled in for quite some time. And I'm really excited about how you pivoted. And actually, I think it probably makes it a broader and deeper festival because of the, if you like, the unfortunate circumstances of the death of Terra 1, long live Terra 2. But I do genuinely think that actually you were already talking anyway. I remember we did the previous spaces where you were talking about looking at other chains and opportunities. It's just an unfortunate incident, but it has sped up the move to be multi-chain, which is kind of the way that I'm feeling about my sort of crypto approach as well. So it's maybe out of a bad moment comes a good future.
Without a doubt, I think that just the one kind of maybe one thing to end on really was that Sarah's asking me beforehand a lot about kind of best innovations. And I think almost all of the best innovations, if you take out like the tech in terms of like the really cool shit that we see with Metaverse and, you know, that's got better and the slicker DEXs, et cetera, et cetera. I think the really big takeaway for me was the buzzwords of being cross-chain or multi-chain, which I think is why Cosmos featured so heavily in a lot of the kind of research I was doing and cropped up so much. But even a lot of the wallets, a lot of the metaverses, a lot of the NFT projects, they aren't now just focused on one chain. And maybe that is, you know, maybe the death of Terra. I'd already started to branch out my personal portfolio into Cosmos, but spreading even further is the way forward. And it was definitely a feeling across the consensus Decentralcon and Osmocon week that it is a multi-chain future. That for me was probably the one thing maybe to end on and take away as the key takeaway.
Excellent.
If I may add one last thing, if you guys don't mind, Andre and us, this is nothing to do with DeFi or chains. We got to see a very cool event. There's a tourist place under a bridge over there in a park where this bridge hosts millions of bats. And at sunset, all of these bats just stream out from underneath the bridge. And there's hundreds of people in the park milling about and on the bridge that witness this event every night. And that was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was that was pretty incredible. Yeah, so just to give everyone a bit of background, there's this bridge that's right in the city center that kind of links the north and the south part of the city together. And they rebuilt this bridge, I think it was in the 90s or early 2000s. And when they rebuilt the bridge, they put a load of expansion gaps in on the underside of the bridge, and it made for a perfect kind of breeding and habitat for these bats. So every night, exactly at sunset, all of a sudden, there are millions and millions and millions of these bats just pouring out from under this bridge, and it's quite the spectacle. And like you say, DeFi, we stood there and really kind of took it in for maybe 15-20 minutes, and it was just a constant flow. It was quite the spectacle, right by the river, sunset happening by a beautiful city. And I'm really glad that we got to enjoy some moments outside of the conference as a community.
Amazing. Again, I wish I was there, but I'll wait for next time. Anyway, it's been a great chat, guys. thank you for coming and joining the space. I think we're mostly tired up now because you've got to go, Super Terra, don't you?
I do. Yes, I'm on again in about 4 minutes' time. But thank you ever so much for inviting me, and great as always to chat, and enjoyed my post-FOMO amplification, hearing all about Austin. Now, it sounds like an amazing experience. And what it's actually done is the opposite. It's really powerfully given me that boost to know that the broader, despite the broader market, there's a really fantastic community growing out there. And it just makes me just want to be more involved than ever before. And I'm fairly involved now.
Yeah, no, excellent. No, it was fantastic. And yeah, no, thanks for joining us. And thanks, Sarah. Super Terra, DeFi Zealot, for jumping on and kind of sharing experiences and asking questions, and yeah, just wrapping up what was a really successful, interesting week for Decentralize. And yeah, I'd strongly recommend if you can get to, even if it's not to the big crypto events that are, you know, across the pond in the States or far flung locations, try and get along to some of these events, meet the community. It's great to see people in real life. We spend so much time on Twitter and Telegram and Discord that human connection is really important, especially when things are tough. So yeah, make sure you get to as many of the meetups as you possibly can and these crypto events in person. And yeah, we hope to see you all again soon. Really appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Terra Spaces again for recording it. Yeah, we'll speak to you all soon. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Decentralize Presents the DecentralCon Consensus 2022 Week Review and AMA, recorded on Thursday, June 16th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, huge sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Can't even say they're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund them. Pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got 2 left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one CeFi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys. I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate.